Chapter 18. The Choice. The thunder destroyed the real and the immaterial. It blasted through the vortex. It hurled the demon and the angel apart. They plummeted to the deck. The enginearium twisted and flowed. The huge dome began to spiral. Skulls and metal and stone blurred with one another. The thunder shattered all thought, all consciousness, all struggle. The Veritas Ferrum shuddered. Its existence trembled on the edge of dissolution. The colossal engine casing split, peeling back like flesh. Blood and ichor flooded the deck. The galleries collapsed. Demons fell and thrashed. Their jaws gaped with screams that could not be heard. There was only the thunder. Sanguinius landed at the edge of the portal. It was unstable, and howling energy slashed from its maw, jagged strikes rupturing the bodies of demons with uncontrolled change. Sanguinius pushed himself up. Mardale's staff had fallen from his chest, and blood pumped from the wound. He cried out again from the greater injury to his soul, shaking with horror before the new curse that would fall on his sons because of him. Even to breathe felt like a condemnation. But he saw his foe fallen before him, and he found the strength to fight on. Mardale thrashed, the blade in carmine and the spear of Telesto embedded in its torso. The thunder was passing, rolling away in rumbles like the fall of mountains. The walls of the Veritas Ferrum began to stabilize. The ship had been hurt, but it was not dead. A growl began to build in the wake of the thunder. It came from a vast distance forwards, vibrating down the length of the ship. It was the snarl of a vengeful beast about to strike back. The fading of the thunder was the measure of the moment Sanguinius had before him. He lunged at Mardale and grabbed the hilts of his weapons. He sank them deeper into the demon, then pulled the impaled demon towards him. He could feel the portal at his back. The material and Empyrean warred with each other. The ocean stormed, waiting to swallow him one more time. Mardale reared up. Sanguinius held tight to the weapons. His anger was desperate now. The storm of his destruction threatened to overturn his reason. Despair pushed his wrath to the edge of the blackness. Grief swamped him. His choice was nothing more than a choice of dooms. He would doom his sons, and perhaps the Imperium if he accepted his fate. Or he would be the doom of the Imperium if he surrendered to Mardale. Hope had fled. He forced himself to think no further than the next second, the next gesture. He followed the path of blind duty, though it seemed even that might abandon him too. And so he dragged the weapons towards him, and his wretched fury was still enough that the spear of Telesto burned the demon again. Held half prone, Mardale lunged, its staff abandoned. Its giant claws grabbed the angel by its wings.
"You will serve!"
Mardale bellowed, and the air shattered like glass. The demon's grip was iron on Sanguinius's wings. It was still moving forwards. Sanguinius threw himself backwards. Mardale, in mid-lunge, went with him. They fell into the portal. There was the jolt of a huge disjunction, of two realities forced together, yet separated by the blade of the Empyrean. Sanguinius plunged through the violence of the portal. He landed, and his torso was on the floor of the Delphos. His legs were still on the skulls of the Veritas Ferrum's deck. The demon held his wings, and he held his weapons. They were caught between the realities, and the warp ran through the centre of their beings. They thrashed. The tip of the spear of Telesto, embedded in the demon's chest, was inside the portal. There it held Mardale, transfixing the abomination. Sanguinius was held, too, by more than the demon's grip. He was suspended in grief, trapped by fate. He saw his brothers approach over quaking rubble. Ascalon and the sanguinary guard were right behind them. They cut down the demons that remained between them and the portal, and then they were with him. They seemed so far away. Gilliman crushed Mardale's wrist with the hand of dominion. The demon's claws splayed in pain. The monster struggled, unable to pull free from the avenging son's strength. The lion brought the wolf blade down on the demon's pinned arm, grinding through the armor plating of its hide. Gilliman slammed the hand down again, and the demon's hand went limp. Flames licked up and down the wounded limb. The demon released Sanguinius's wings and slashed at the Primarchs. Its claws cut deep gouges into their armor, but they would not be stopped. The lion's sword chewed into the demon's flesh. The monster screamed. With a sickening wet crack of gristle, the lion severed the arm. A deluge of ichor spilled into the temple. Mardale screamed, and the eyes of its skull bathed the temple hall with fire. The walls wavered, shifting back and forth between stone and flesh. They burned and bled, and the broken dome slumped lower. The blast threw the sanguinary guard back and swept over the dark angels and ultramarines. The great demon's power was overwhelming. Its flames coursed over and through the legionary's armor, burning bodies and souls. Ascalon cried out in pain and determination. Leaning forwards, as if against a hurricane, he staggered back through the fire towards his Primarch, fighting for every step. Unbowed in the heart of the furnace, Gilliman and the lion redoubled their blows against Mardale. Sanguinius could barely see them. The foul brilliance of the fire turned them into silhouettes. Mardale slowed them, but could not stop them. They were jagged shapes, indomitable in their attacks, striking through a firestorm with immense blows to smash open the demon's body. They were titans of war, and with their features hidden, they were myths, embodiments of strength and courage raining down judgment on the terrible priest. Yet Mardale moved. Its skull eyes still spewing fire in an unending torrent, it heaved itself up. Sanguinius jammed his spear and sword deeper into its chest, holding the demon down. Tremors ran through its body, growing stronger. It was drawing the energy of the warp into it. It would rise again. It was imprisoned for the moment, caught between two points in the materium. It must not free itself. It must not cross to one point or the other. As long as the portal was open, the demon was a threat. On the threshold of the portal and the temple, Sanguinius saw what he must do. Here, time changed. Here, the War Master fell. Here, the Angel was tempted. Here, the galaxy pivoted. Ascalon reached the threshold. He hunched against the blasts, racked by pain, but no less determined than Gilliman and the lion.
"Free your Primarch!" Gilliman shouted.
Ascalon reached forwards in the vortex of warp and materium. Layers of his armor peeled away in the storm.
"My lord!"
he cried to Sanguinius.
"Give me your hand!"
"No," said Sanguinius.
"I must stay here."
Ascalon froze, rigid with horror.
"Ribute!"
Sanguinius rasped. Speaking was difficult. Battered by the instability of the portal, he was weakening. He clutched the seconds as they went by, holding them with the slender silver thread of hope that was all that remained to him.
"Leave me. Leave Davin now. I will hold the demon as long as I can."
He looked at the lion.
"Now is the time. Destroy this world."
The portal linked Davin and the Veritas Ferrum. The planet had been dead, but now it was convulsing with power. Sanguinius writhed in pain. He dared not wonder if he could last until the evacuations were complete. He could not think of the hours, only the seconds, one by one by one. He would hold for this one, then he would fight to hold for the next. Mardale strained futilely against the spear of Telesto.
"This is not your fate," it raged. "Follow rule. You do not fall here."
Sanguinius ignored the demon. He had to. The hope for a meaningful death was too precious.
"Go!"
he pleaded to Gilliman. He turned his eyes to Ascalon.
"With my last breaths, I will spare my sons," he thought. "Go!"
he roared. Ascalon took a step away. His face was a mirror of Sanguinius's agony. He could not disobey his Primarch, but the order was condemning him to the unthinkable. The black rage crawled into the back of Sanguinius's skull, coiling, ready to spread its cancer through the millennia. He was sparing his legion nothing. His death would still be the trauma that would bestow his legacy of madness. Whether his sons relived his death at the hands of Horus or on Davin, the result would be the same. The doom was in his blood. Kurz was right. His fate and that of the Blood Angels could not be altered. Perhaps Kurz was wrong, too. If Sanguinius could not save his sons, he might still preserve the Imperium. His death could have meaning. The sacrifice of his legion could have meaning. Here and now, in this act, there was meaning. There was also no choice. Kurz was right there, too. if not for the reason he thought. Mardale and Davin must be destroyed. There was no other action open to Sanguinius. There was the duty of the second, and he held fast. The thoughts flashed through Sanguinius's mind in the time it took for Ascalon to retreat a single step. The rest of the Sanguinary Guard, and beyond them Ultramarines and Dark Angels, had formed a wall, blocking access to the portal. No more demons were coming through it. Instead, those still in the hall had turned back, trying to reach their fallen priest. The tremors continued to shake the temple. Two storms battered the hall. The portal raged at the edge of extinction. The struggle beyond created a curtain of sorcerous fire, exploding shells and ignited promethium. Legionaries and demons destroyed each other.
"Go!"
Sanguinius pleaded. A new armored figure knelt before him. It was his herald. He had not seen the legionary approach. Had he marched with the Sanguinary Guard into the Delphos? Sanguinius couldn't remember. He was there now, as he had come to the angel on the red tier. As indeed he had answered the first need on Macragge. His power sword upraised, he held his hand out to the angel. He said nothing. His gesture was eloquent.
"I will take your place. Let this burden be mine."
Sanguinius looked up into the helmet of his unknown son. His path became clear. His duty could not end here. He could not protect his sons from their doom. His duty would be to fight until the appointed end came for him. Theirs would be to fight on, and bear the dual burden of thirst and rage until salvation or oblivion would come for them. He did not hesitate. He had no doubts now. This too was fate. In the depths of his pain, he experienced a bleak hope and a bitter joy. He had always been meant to stand at the juncture of timelines. And though there was flux, though there was possibility, he had always been meant, too, to reach this point, and to receive this offer from the one blood angel who could make it. There were too many symmetries, too many echoes for the meaning of this moment to be otherwise. Once before, on Sigmas Prime, a son had taken the place of the father. Meros had sacrificed himself. He had become the Red Angel. He had embodied the thirst, becoming the worst of the Blood Angel's nature. On the Red Tier, the Herald had banished Sanguinius's madness. He had confronted the Primarch with the best of what he was. The best was there now. He would suffer for the Angel. He was the perfect offering to the Fates.
"No choice," Sanguinius gasped.
The pain of the truth was as great as the physical agony that wrenched him across the portal. Sanguinius turned his back on ruin. He nodded. The herald raised his sword, both hands wrapped around the hilt, the blade pointing downwards. He stepped forwards.
"Save your servant,"
Mardale cried.
"Who trusts in you, O four?"
It snatched at the herald. As its great claws came together, the air burned around their contours. It tore the fabric of the materium in the frenzy of its effort. With the power that had shattered worlds, that had enveloped a system with a boneyard, it hurled itself against the gates of destiny and found them closed. It seized the herald, but the herald was already leaning forwards, plunging the sword into the portal. Mardale's grasp moved the blood angel into the position determined by fate, and the blade struck the demon at the point where it was bisected by the portal, into the wound struck by the spear of Telesto. The herald stabbed the sword down to the hilt, holding the demon. Mardale screamed with a voice of a thousand agonies. The shriek clawed down the vault. Rubble by the ton collapsed into the centre of the hall, crushing the demonic horde even as the abominations recoiled from the scream, moaning their despair. The roof of the temple was suddenly open to the air. The demon's torso reared up. Its eyes were wide and staring, and they were as blank as the orbs in its skull. Mardale was blind. The demon screamed again and again. When Mardale arched its back in pain, Sanguinius rose. He yanked the blade in carmine from the demon's shoulder. He pulled the spear of Telesto from the monstrous body. The weapon burned in his grip, and the spearhead glowed white. He staggered back from the portal. The herald stood in the midst of the portal, neither in the temple nor in the Veritas Ferrum. Bestriding realities, enveloped by the storm of the warp, he should not have been visible any longer. He should have vanished the moment he entered the portal. His silhouette was visible, bent over the body of the demon, his sword transfixing the undivided. The edges of his outline trembled, as if the immaterium sought to eat away at his being. His stance over the writhing demon was strong. He was motionless, already a symbol more than a warrior of flesh and bone. He would stand until his work was done.
"We have little time," Sanguinius said to his brothers. "We must act while my son holds fate at this crossroads. We must honour his sacrifice."
It felt like a crime, like a new form of treachery, to turn his eyes from the herald and the miracle of that silhouette in the portal. At the last moment, he witnessed the greater miracle. He saw the outline of wings spring from the herald's shoulder. A new angel was coming into being.
"Son of my blood!" Sanguinius cried. "Son of my hope!"
And the angel blazed with gold. Sanguinius forced himself to turn and face the hall. The battle was over. The bodies of blood angels, ultramarines, and dark angels lay in the near approach to the portal, some mutilated obscenely by demonic claws and sorcery, others crushed beneath the fallen stone. Despite the losses, the formations were intact. The wall of ceramite stood around the Primarchs. The demons here were finished. Their burned, shattered remains covered the visible portions of the floor. Smoke rose from liquefying masses, screaming shapes half-formed in the smoke vanishing as it spread wider in the air. The hall was a mass of rubble. The walls were buckling. Pillars had fallen, and the ones still standing were cracked, stone dust falling from the crevasses. There were ways through the wreckage, though. Where doorways were blocked by collapses, new breaches in the walls opened other passages. The tremors went on and on. The Delphos was shaking itself apart. It had failed in its last task, and the failure was destroying it.
"There is no time," the lion corrected. "We are in contact with the fleets again."
He glanced up through the broken roof. Sanguinius followed his gaze. The night was greyer than it had been when they entered the temple. The void flashed, stars blazed and died. There was war in the void, and the firmament itself seemed to be drawing closer, cracking, closing in on the world.
"The Veritas Ferrum is laying waste to our fleets," the lion said. "It has withstood cyclonic torpedoes."
"Not easily,"
Sanguinius said. He thought of the eruption inside the ship.
"Easily or not, it lives. And every ship the demons kill becomes one of their number."
Sanguinius moved forwards. His legs were weak. His chest felt like a ruined shell. Pieces of him, physical and psychic, had floated free and were grinding against each other like bone. If he confronted all the ways in which he was broken, he would not walk at all.
"Davin is the target," he said again. "The ship is vulnerable through its master, and we hold its master."
"Then we must withdraw our forces while we still have fleets to use," said Gilliman.
As they moved away from the portal, Mardale called to Sanguinius.
"The rage will come."
The demon said no more, roaring in helpless anger at the herald. The last shout fanned the flames of grief in the angel's breast. He glanced at Ascalon.
"Will I warn you of the curse that will fall on our legion?" "I cannot. Not without revealing its cause."
He could not tell Ascalon that the loss he had faced a few moments before was inevitable. He could not destroy the hope of the Blood Angels in the midst of war. The Primarchs and their guards made for a breach in the eastern wall. Sanguinius paused at its threshold. He could feel time slipping away. From outside the temple came the thunder and angry rattle of combat. The armies of the three legions had engaged the tide of demons. In the sky, ugly blossoms of fire marked the deaths of more ships, and the void was filled with a grey fog, the shell of bones completing its contraction, coming to enclose Davin in its final tomb. There truly was no time. Even so, he paused. He looked back at the portal. It twisted on itself. Wave after wave of mutating fire bellowed from the interior. A storm had turned on itself and was lashing out with the force of its ruin. In the heart of the maelstrom, the herald stood, bowed, his sword planted. He radiated his own light. The silhouette shone golden. At the last, just before he turned away, Sanguinius was sure he saw the shape of wings spread from the herald's shoulders once more. The red tear came about through the ignited plasma fog that had been the Sable. The cruiser had died a second time, but not before inflicting fratricidal wounds on the battleship. The scars of the demonic burn festered on the lengths of the hull. Carminus turned the red tear away from its run at the Veritas Ferrum. The huge abomination had recovered from the wound inflicted by the Samothrace. It was accelerating again. Its salvos were frenzied, indiscriminate. It was a maddened predator, attacking as if it would destroy the entire fleet on its own. Carminus thought it might yet succeed. The combined fleets had lost a third of their ships. They had held the demon fleet at a constant size, but that was not even stalemate. That was a slight delay to defeat. Then the bones of the Necrosphere smashed through the battle zone, breaching hulls, shearing off cannon batteries, ramming through sterns and destroying engines. When they hit the demon ships, they stuck like tremors to the hulls, accumulating grotesquery and strength. Carminus had brought the red tier parallel with the Veritas. He vowed to sell the life of the vessel and its crew with honor. They would hurt the monster again, even if they could not kill it. The Samothrace had set its pyre and had died well. It was ash in the void now and had not come back. The red tier was not alone in making a last bloody stand. The formations had collapsed into disorder. The near space of Davin was a cloud of individual battles. The commanders of the three fleets saw the end coming, and the vessels that could do so converged on the Veritas Ferrum. It welcomed their sacrifice with jaws agape. Then the call had come. Sanguinius had returned. The ground forces were withdrawing in haste. The order was given by all three Primarchs. Return to Davin and destroy it. The red tier changed heading. It turned away from the Veritas Ferrum. Carminus's hope raced ahead of the gradual turn of the battleship's prow. His hope ran before them, seeking time they did not have. The void shields flared again and again as bone clusters battered the hull.
"The Veritas Ferrum is altering course," Mortis warned. "It is closing with us."
"The enemy senses its end," Carminus said.
"It is desperate."
"Not as desperate as we are," he thought. He could feel the shadow of the demon ship pressing down on his shoulders. Not soon enough, Davin came into view. Not soon enough, he saw the transports and gunships rising from the atmosphere, heading for the vessels that had remained on reserve. The stream of the departing ground forces would not be done soon enough. Carminus's will joined his hope in urging the gunships to greater speed.
"The Incarnadine is gone," Mortis said.
The cruiser had been a short distance ahead of the red tier before the turn. The Veritas Ferrum bit it in half. Carminus cursed the treachery of time.
"Target cyclonic torpedoes on the Temple Valley," he said.
Then he waited for his Primarch's signal, or for the Death Ship to devour the Red Tear. The Vicini was among the last of the ships to leave the corrupted world. Sanguinius ordered it to fly a holding pattern over the Delphos until the evacuation was complete. The outer walls of the structure fell at last, exposing the portal. Sanguinius stared at the raging wound in reality, and knew that the Herald still held Mardale in place. Had the Herald fallen, the demon would have commanded the hordes of lesser abominations in the land beyond. Caught between Davin and the Veritas Ferrum, Mardale formed a link between the ship and the planet. Davin had been inert when the Primarchs had come to the temple. Now it was violently alive in the place where the fate of the galaxy had been altered once before. Now there was an unstable fusion of the materium and the warp, and fate hung in the balance once more. At last the Talon rose from the crater blackened by tens of thousands of rampaging abominations. The Vicini turned away from Davin. Ahead, the Veritas Ferrum loomed behind the red tier. The ship was so vast, it seemed much closer than it was. There were other vessels between it and the Angel's flagship. They were insignificant prey before it. Sanguinius had seen the interior of the monster. The exterior was a new form of horror. The malevolence of the vessel surpassed the will of Mardale. It did not need its master. It would ravage the galaxy forever. It was coming now to destroy the Imperial vessels before they could destroy Davin. It would finish what its master could not. It would swallow whole the remaining hope of the Imperium. "Brothers," he voxed Gilliman and the Lion, "it must be now." They were on gunships that had started their climbs at the same time as the Talon. Ascalon, a few paces away, said, "Oh, my lord, we are barely free of Davin's gravity well. We must run the risk." "I concur," said Gilliman. "The moment is about to pass." Sanguinius saw the moments to come. He saw the Red Tear murdered and transformed. He saw the Turning Point join them, and the fleet falling quickly to the plague of revenants. "Is this what it is like for you, Conrad?" he thought. "Always to see, always to know what will and what must be." Everything was too close to Davin now. The density of conflict turned the vicinity of the world into a charnel house. The immense guns of the Veritas Ferrum unleashed a continuous barrage. Vessels died off its port, starboard and bow. The first of the bone clusters were falling on Davin, taking out transports and gunships in fiery collisions.
"Launch the torpedoes now, Carminus!" Sanguinius shouted. "Do it now!"
The Red Tear fired its cyclonic torpedoes. So did the Invincible Reason, and so did the Gauntlet of Glory, and the Ultimus Mundi, and the Intolerant, and the Decimator. A superabundance of death burned through Davin's atmosphere. Three legions struck at the world with the fury of a last desperate hope. They struck with anger, determined to see the cursed origin of Horus's rebellion annihilated, erased forever from human sight. They struck because it was written they must. Or, on this day, three fleets would perish, and then the Imperium would surely fall. The cyclonic torpedoes hit the site of the temple. The Delphos and all its surroundings vanished, the initial blast flashing the region to dust. Then the more terrible wounds came, one after another. The entire surface of the planet turned molten. The core was hit by overlapping blast waves, creating a destructive force many times greater than the one that had broken Epissimos III. Davin exploded. The bane of the Emperor's dream hurled its death cry outwards. The shockwave and the burning fragments of its crust slammed through the near space. The last of the gunships, those that had not been able to dock with the retreating vessels, took frantic evasive action. Some fell to luck or fate and died with the planet. The blast strained the void shields of the great ships. The Dark Angel's grand cruiser, Culverin, its hull badly damaged by a strike from the Veritas Ferrum's cannons, blew up. The fireball exploded from the bow, and the ship drove forwards, disintegrating into its own flame. The entire combined fleet rode the wave of annihilation, ships in a storm. They were tossed by the violent ocean of forces they had unleashed. Some sank. Most survived. The torpedo salvo caused two explosions. The destruction of Davin was the weaker of the two. The greater blast did not touch the vessels of the Imperium. The souls aboard them felt its passage, and they witnessed it. Sanguinius gasped as the wave passed through the Vicini. It felt like a huge severing. Fragments of time, present and to come, bled and died, and he sensed a falling away of possibilities. Enormous destruction and the final creation of a single future were one and the same. The second overlapped with another, birthed at the same moment. The Delphos vanished, and the Veritas Ferrum. The huge maw at its prow loosed a monstrous scream. In the Vicini, the Blood Angel staggered. Sanguinius winced. He stood firm against the sound in his skull. He heard the voice of Mardale, and the voice of the monster the demon had created. The resurrected, corrupted machine spirit of the Veritas Ferrum raged against its end. The howl went on, and the ship swelled. The skin of its hull cracked open, bursting with the pressure of the conflagration within. Violet unlight speared the void. The Veritas Ferrum flew apart. Wreckage of mouths and eyes and bones raced ahead of the expanding ball of inchoate warp energy, and the scream went on. At the center of the explosion, the void was torn, and the Immaterium reclaimed its own. An implosion began. Its energy ball reversed its growth, shrinking in a single moment to a point. It caught the fleeing rubble of the ship and pulled it all in. In its absolute violence, the implosion unleashed the second shockwave on the ether. It collided with the first. In their intersection, They reduced the demonic fleet and the swarm of bones to dust. The scream faded as the Revenant ships returned to oblivion. Deprived of the force that animated them, their bonds broken, they lost substance. They became ragged phantoms sailing through the uniform void of grey. Then they were shadows, then echoes, then only memories in the minds of those who had seen them. The destruction of Davin and its works rushed outwards from the system, further and further, carried by the agony of the warp, transforming the materium at speeds far greater than light. Sanguinius looked out through the viewing block of the Vicini, and he saw the wound before he heard the new cry. With the necrosphere gone, the ruin storm was visible again, and it was in agony. The aurora of madness still twisted across the galaxy, but there was a gap. A chasm of untainted void broke up the storm, as if a break had been blasted through a firestorm, or a spear thrust through the body of a great beast. Sanguinius tightened his hold on the spear of Telesto, feeling the muscle memory of his strike. The blow he had struck on Pirin, slicing through the knots of fate, had been a lie. His blow on the Veritas Ferrum had been an act of truth. It reached just as far. Davin had died as the forces linked to it tried to shape his path and the Imperium's. The convulsion of power and destinies had cracked open the barrier of the ruin storm. There were stars in the gap. Sanguinius could see the face of the galaxy again. Among the stars was the brightest light. He could not see it, but he felt its return like the sudden warmth of dawn after a flood. Its light was the cause of the new cry, the one that came on the Vox. The cry was voiced first by the navigators of every surviving ship, and it spread to every member of the crew and every legionary.
"Terror!"
came the cry as the Astronomican blazed.
"Terror! Terror! Terror!"
A shout, and not a scream, a chorus of triumph.
"Terror! Terror! Terror!"
Sanguinius closed his eyes. The shouts washed over him like a balm. There were no screams for now. He had purchased the triumph at the cost of a scream in the future. He listened to the roar of his sons. He tried to forget what that roar would sound like when fate came to collect its ransom, the black rage in its claws.